This episode of Bend the Knee is brought to you by our Bannermen, Lord Jason of House Ross, Sir Jimmy of House Nuts, Master of the Web, Lady Dawn of House Wright, Sir Chris of House Farber, Lady Tracy of House Faw, Sir Peter of House Whittingham, Sandy the Dragon, Blood of Queen Daenerys and Lady of Jameson, Lord John of House Fry, Lady Juliana of House Stradley, Sir David of House Fraser, Lady Liz of House Hendricks, Sir Matthew of House Perry, Lady Madeline of House Fritzel, Lady Adrian of House Dillard, Lady Ashley of House Gardner, Lady Lismalyn of House Morales.
This episode of Bend the Knee is protected by Sir Ryan of House Turbush, Lady Sarah the Unraveler.
Our current champion is Lady Kira of House Arnold.
Our current Master of Coin is Lord Jason of House Ross.
Squire to Sir Matt, Lady Betsy of House Hudson.
Welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra the Watchful Friends. Welcome back to our Song of Ice and Fire podcast. Friends, we're diving in to a lot of different things today. Matt and I have been discussing where do we go, which rabbit hole do we chase, what news do we cover. There's actually quite a bit
today. Today's going to be a big one. In fact, if you're listening on the podcast, it might be broken into two, possibly three episodes. I was on vacation last week. I was down in Dorne, otherwise known as Mexico. It was fun. It was great. But Ez and I weren't able to record, but it did give me a lot of time to study and gave Ez a lot of time to study. And we're going to talk about some characters that we've never talked about. That's kind of what we're trying to do more recently. And we've got a big one for you today, as well as I have been sort of piecing together this list of secret identities, because we keep talking about, is this person secretly this? Is this person secretly this? And I was like, I'm just going to put together a big list, anything that I could find, and I have it in like three categories. We're going to get into it. But first, Ez.
Yeah.
There is some news, rumors, speculation, my friend. So this was what I had been saying. So April 17th, 2011, a Sunday, Game of Thrones came on the air. Okay. Uh-huh. Now I looked at this year and I said, I'm thinking April is going to be when Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon comes out. April 17th of this year is a Sunday.
Okay.
So I have been sort of in my mind saying, I think it's coming out April 17th. It fits right in line with when it normally would air. Also, I think timing to this is kind of crucial for HBO Max, because they've kind of had a big thing each month. So in March, The Batman comes out, which is going to be like their big mega movie. That comes to HBO Max in the following month, in like the beginning of April. You have Secrets of Dumbledore, which is the other big Warner Brothers sort of property. Yep. They haven't announced that it's going to be doing the same thing, but I believe it is. Then today, I've been talking about it for a very long time. The Warner Brothers split off of AT&T, joining Discovery. That's happening now, it seems like around this time, April. So they're going to want that first quarter for this like new company, you know, in the stock market and all that stuff, to look massive. And what better way to do that than with House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones, the big, big money maker. You know, I mean, Game of Thrones is like, I mean, HBO had that Sopranos and The Wire and a lot of big shows, but nothing was like Game of Thrones. I mean, where we're at today, let's just put this in perspective.
Come on now.
Okay. The Mandalorian, we love, and it's great. And it does great numbers for Disney Plus. Stranger Things and House of Cards and all these shows that Netflix has had. The Witcher, they're great.
Right.
But what was the first show to really sort of come in and seal, yep. be like, this is the streaming show. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could watch it on TV, but really started pushing what was then like HBO Now or whatever. Yeah, that'd be Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we love Wheel of Time. Season one was kind of okay. Love The Witcher. Love Stranger Things. Love Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But nothing is going to come close to House of the Dragon. I'm sorry. It's just not.
Hey, that's good. That's what I want to hear, Matt. That's what I want to hear. Okay. And I mean, we actually were on, was it Mike's book reviews the other day? And we were talking about that. And I was, it was interesting to hear from him that he didn't think wasn't as, he was happy to hear that opinion. I kind of thought, I don't know. I'm with you. Like, hey, Game of Thrones is a big freaking deal. There's a huge, we haven't seen anything like that before. That shows have come out afterwards and big shows with big companies behind them. And they have not duplicated really the phenomenon that was Game of Thrones. So,
so there was a rumor. It's kind of been put to bed a little bit, excuse me, that IMDb listed it. It could just be a prank or something. They had House of the Dragon listed as releasing April 3rd, which kind of debunked a little bit, but could mean that, hey, somebody there is like, oh, it's coming out in April, and they just put April 3rd, which happens to be the first Sunday. In April. I'm still saying it's April 17th because you just, why would you miss that opportunity to have it line up? Game of Thrones, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
11, you know, it was, you know, 4, 17, 11. Now you could have 4, 17,
22. Yeah, 22. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. That'd be cool, man. I freaking hope so. I either way, to me, I look at it where it's February 1st as we're recording this. And it's like, God, dude, we're just a couple months away. You know, I mean, this is big. We have the Super Bowl rolling up here. Shout out to the Bengals.
Let's go.
Let's go. I'm
how excited? As a lifelong Bengals fan, how excited are you?
My friend, I was. So Lottie and I were watching it together. She was in Germany. She said it was the most stressed out like sporting event she's ever watched because I'm explaining to her and she was three or four plays ahead of me in terms of the streaming. And so she's telling Matt, I got to tell you this real quick. I'm sorry. At one point, she's sitting there, and I was like, sweetie, what's going on? And, you know, she and I saw her face. She's like, and this is earlier than they get. She's like, what happens when the other team catches it? The other team caught it? I'm watching this thing go, and this is how the whole thing went. I was like, no, they did not. No, they didn't. They did. You know, we throw the pick. But anyways, man, I'm pumped. I'm excited. It was awesome. And, you know, now, so Super Bowl coming up here in a couple weeks. Can't freaking wait. I'm super pumped. Go Bengals. Everybody get on. I'm like, get on the bandwagon. Everybody needs to be on. Like, look, come on. This is like a big deal. But I'm hoping we see something really cool.
Oh, you know, I do. Real quick. Do you think we're getting a Super Bowl trailer? I 1000% say yes.
Yeah,
1000% say yes. All of the signs look like we're going to get it. Again, to me, the biggest indicator of this, because it could come out at any point in the year, right? I mean, it could come out in September or anything, but I think we're still online for that April thing. Again, I think specifically the merger, the Warner Brothers splitting off into sort of getting combined with Discovery Channel to become this new media conglomerate. It's happening early 2022. We're already there now. So seems like it's the AT&T and everything. They announced it all today. So I'm guessing it's going to be happening here a lot sooner than they expected, which is some of the other language thrown around like CNBC and stuff like that today. So I'm guessing it's probably happening end of March, early April. So now you have this new company, books are running, and here you go with House of the Dragon as your first big deal. Part of, you know, this company that's going to be its own new balance sheet. So I think April 17th is what I'm still standing by just because the stars align. Okay.
Yeah.
So we both agree. We both think there's going to be a Super Bowl commercial. Now, real quick, one last thing about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I have been on Twitter. I'm a lifelong Steelers fan. Okay.
Yes.
Ez knows this.
Yeah, I know this. But many years of Madden back and forth.
He's been made aware. But Ez, what have I been telling you from the moment your Cincinnati Bengals drafted Joe Burrow?
He's real.
This is, I say, Ez is like, I don't know. Is he good? I was like, Ez, I can tell you right here, right now. Real. Go back and look at my Twitter. He is the real deal. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Joe Burrow is from Ohio.
Come on.
Okay. We love people from Ohio because Ez and I are from Ohio. Athens. That's just down the street from us.
Yeah. Stone's throw.
He goes to Ohio State.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he had to sit behind a wealth of talent. It happens. It's like being the third string quarter in Alabama. You could go play anywhere. All right. But Joe Burrow said, you know, life's good here, but it could be better. I need to forge my own path. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he leaves the Ohio State University and he goes to LSU.
Yeah.
And he finally gets his chance to start at LSU. And he says, Alabama, I'm not scared. Takes him out.
Yeah.
Then he has to stare down the sunshine night in Trevor Lawrence. In the college football national champions, Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's never lost.
Right.
And Joe Burrow said, watch this.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Joe Burrow goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. First pick overall.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Crazy. He's only a one-time starter.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he's the Lord Commander of the Bengals.
Okay? Wow.
And then he gets taken out. Early into his reign.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. And then he gets resurrected.
Yeah.
In the next season. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And he goes to the playoffs.
Right.
So, right. He goes in and first round, you got to pay Derek Carr and the Raiders. They've been great.
Right.
Watch this. Boom. Yeah. Took him out.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he has to go to take down the number one Tennessee Titans.
Number one.
Getting King Henry back. Okay, well.
Yeah.
Getting Knight King Henry back. Well, watch this.
Yep.
Okay. Boom. Took him out.
Laid him low.
Now you got to go take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Right.
They're unstoppable. He's the best ever.
Yeah.
Watch this. Boom. Now he's going to the championship. He's basically the Jon Snow.
Right.
Of the NFL.
Exactly.
He is Azor Ahai.
Matt. Yeah.
The prince who was promised.
Amen.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You just can't stop him.
When he drops back to pass and he's got that ball held high, I just see Lightbringer in his hand and he's just bringing it, right?
Because they're coming at him. His wall has fallen because he got sacked 9 times and he still said, watch this.
Yeah. The wall will fall. In the Super Bowl, the wall will crumble. It's okay. They still are doing it though, man. They're still making it happen, you know, which is crazy. But I hope that he's the Jon Snow of the books and not necessarily the show.
I'm just saying the similarities are insane.
They are.
He goes to Ohio State. It's much like Jon Snow goes to Winterfell. I can't forge a life here. Just not, you know.
Right.
Not for me. So he leaves and he goes to LSU. Like Jon goes to the wall.
Yeah.
Boom.
Oh, yeah.
He's the starter. Whole deal.
Yep.
I love him. John being Lord Commander.
He also just has a different way.
Then he got taken out just like Jon Snow.
I know.
But he's resurrected.
He's back.
He's back.
That's crazy, dude. That's a great comparison. And I just hope, you know, that when the battle comes here in the Super Bowl, you know, that that Arya doesn't steal his thunder. I don't know who that would be, but.
The Rams coming from the Westerlands, right?
Yeah.
Like the Lannisters.
Right.
The Ramsters. Okay. He's not scared.
No, he's
not. And he's got to go to their house to do it.
No, it won't surprise me if they win really anymore. I mean, like, I'm not expecting, I don't know. I wouldn't doubt him. I would not count him out. So
wouldn't count him out. Okay. There we go. I said going a little bit of a rant there.
Yes, sir.
But you can go to my Twitter. You can go look at everything I've been telling us. I was like, I told you at the beginning of this year, I said, I would be shocked if Joe Burrow does not win a Super Bowl in his career.
You did say that. I remember you saying
I did. I know. And you were like, I don't know, man. I was like, I'm telling you.
Secretly inside, I'm going, God, I hope so. I'm, come on, you know, but I know. Crazy.
Crazy. Awesome. Okay, here we go. So we've been talking about this for quite some time, Ez.
Yep.
We've been going over all of these secret identities, okay? This person could be this person. This person could be this person. There's a handful of identities that are sort of secret that are confirmed. Then there's like a list of them that are sort of, you know, like almost 99%, right? So like Barrison Selmy is Artisan Whitebeard, right? I mean, that's one confirmed.
Right.
Arya pretending to be all these different people while she's with the Faceless Men, you know, Cat of the Canals, all of these things. Those are confirmed. Ramsay as Reek. There's a confirmed secret identity, because when we dive into all these theories, we're always saying, oh, he could secretly be a Targaryen or Mance Raiders, Rhaegar or Arthur Dayne or any of these things. But the fact of the matter is that there are a lot of already confirmed secret identities, let alone possible parentages, all of these things. So obviously we can't go into every single one of these in detail, but I put together a pretty big list here of characters that there's theories on or anything. So these are just a lot of people, just sort of like fan community, what I could find.
Yeah.
I have it broken down into a few different categories here. So questionable parentage or ancestry, alive, but presumably dead. And then secret identities, right? So somebody could be somebody else, any of these sort of things here. So I'm just going to kind of go through them. Well, I don't know. We're going to talk about the ones we think that are interesting, ones that we think are cool, whatever. I'll share it here. And then we can just kind of go down the list here.
I think this is an impressive thing to think about, though, just all these different people, because it's
right.
It's wild.
Yeah. So starting here, so obviously the big one right out of the gate, Jon Snow. Regardless of whether you think R plus L equals J or N plus A or any of these things, Jon's parentage, even straightforward, is totally questionable because we don't know who his mother is. At least it might just be some random wet nurse that Ned Stark says. It could just be Ned Stark and Wyla. But then you go into, well, that seems unlikely. Could be Ned Nishara. Could be R plus L equals J, right? So there's a lot. Right.
Yeah, there is. And you have whole podcasts and YouTube channels actually devoted to things that are opposite to R plus L equals J. Like people, you know, we talk about all the time. They look at what Gurm said about Dan and Dave, and everyone says, well, that's the answer that he, you know, wanted to hear from them, and alternate ending theories and this whole idea. So, but yeah, the prevailing sort of Jon Snow is the R plus L equals J theory is there, but people argue it all over the place. So,
yeah. Another one. Okay. Mira Reed. This is another sort of common one. I don't know that it had I see the reasoning sort of behind it, right? With Mira Reed potentially being Jon's twin, given that they're roughly the same age, roughly look alike, and Hallen Reed happens to be where Ned Stark is at the time he would presumably take Jon Snow. So that is one that we've referenced quite a bit. It's sort of a big one. I don't know that I buy into it a lot. I think it would be super cool if it were the case. Could still be Jon's sister and not be ahead of the dragon, even just because it would be Jon's sister. George would have to do a lot of explaining with it, but
Do people also argue that like Ashara might also be involved in that whole like could be like Ashara and Hallen Reed,
maybe,
and Mira Reed? I think that's another possibility. Just you know, people talk about so.
Here we go. Here's another big sort of common one. Jaime and so really you can go both of these sort of together, right? A big one is Jaime and Cersei are twins under the Mad King. And then, of course, Tyrion is a Targaryen. So a lot of these, by the way, are going to be secret Targaryens, to say the least, because that's probably the most common. I think I do the, you know, Tyrion's, the idea behind Tyrion is he's an imp. he would potentially be, he's a dwarf, right? Potentially could be because of the Mad King, because he's all sort of jacked up. He loved, obviously, Tywin's wife, Tyrion, and the Lannister's mother. And they sort of, you know, he wanted to take liberties with her. And then Tywin's hate for Tyrion could be so much from the fact that maybe Tywin knows that Tyrion isn't actually his son. He does also say, "You are not my son," at one point. But I think if either of these were to be true, I think I actually lead more towards the idea of Jaime and Cersei not being his sons, because I think it would just ruin, I think, the storytelling of Tyrion and Tywin's relationship. I think it's even more, it would be more poetic and just amazing George writing if Tyrion, of course, obviously is his son, because it makes their relationship that much more dramatic. But I could see the argument of Jaime and Cersei, same thing. This, a lot of the same reasons as Tyrion could be one, but that could sort of explain why Cersei is sort of mad and everything.
Yeah, and it's even too, like, them being older, firstborn, the Mad King claiming, you know, ancient rights and things too. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Do you buy either of those? Do you really? In your head canon, are you big on either of those, or do you have one that you think you believe? If one of them had to be true, which one would you be more in line to agree with?
I'm with you more on the Jaime Cersei one. I even think too, it just another element you can pull from it is that the Targaryen brother-sister relationship is a prevailing thing. And then we have these two. I mean, although they are twins, which is another layer, I am more inclined to think it would go that route than it would the Tyrion route. Although it's just interesting that Tyrion has the dragon dreams, but I think that George is messing with us there by saying whatever you're into, and it's a part of his who he is as a character. Like, he feels like he'd be more powerful on that dragon. So that's why he fantasizes about, you know, dragons. Is it necessarily, doesn't have to be blood or some connection. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. There's a lot. I'm with you. I think if I had to go with one, I'd be more in the Jaime Cersei line. Another reason, some sort of support, I guess, for the people that believe that theory is Joffrey being sort of mad could be that sort of Targaryen lineage as well. So that's right. Another one of these, but I'm not super big on either. Here we go. Aegon, the sixth, AKA Young Griff, you know, possibly, man, a Blackfyre, possibly all kind. Well, actually just Aegon the sixth, I guess, if you really want to look at it, could be just the son of Rhaegar, right?
Yeah.
Could be Young Griff. That's even almost two different characters. But a big one is sort of, the son of Illyrio and that Sarah, perhaps. Tons and tons and tons of other theories behind it.
Yeah, and I like the idea. We always, people call him Fagon, and I often dislike to. It's one of those ones where when George says something, you're supposed to just, you know, no one's taking what he says. That, like, this whole point of this presentation is that, like, look how many people we think have different questionable parents or ancestry or you know, different identities. So that one, it's presented by these guys who are conniving and sneaking around doing something, and they have a secret Targaryen baby that survived, but yet they had Dany there. It's just, it's a lot, but at the same time, I don't know. I could see, I'm in favor of him being an actual being Aegon the sixth.
He could be the real deal. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's cool whether he's, because the interesting thing about Young Griff, right, Aegon, Fagon, whatever you want to call him, is you can really go in a lot of different directions with him at where we're at in the story right now. You could make him a good guy and people would be okay with it. It could be him, John, and Danny, and they're all brother, sister, related, and you know, you just go down that path, and then they all get a dragon, they take out the others. Save the day. You could go in that route. He could end up being a big villain. He could marry Danny. He could marry Sansa. He could be a Blackfyre and do something. Like, he's one of these characters where you could, his mystery is one of the most exciting mysteries to find out in Winds of Winter and, you know, Dream of Spring, if we ever get them. just because of you have so many different directions that you could go with this character. And all of them are incredibly intriguing because he could flip, go good or bad, and be super cool. He could be killed and not be as important as we think he's going to be.
Yeah. Another interesting element that I want to throw into all of this Targaryen stuff in the midst of it is Ashara Dayne and her death in just the proxy. So, I mean, Aegon being born in 281 or 282 AC, dying in 283. And then Ashara Dayne also dies in 283. Why? Possibly because of, she commits suicide over being heartbroken, stillborn daughter, because of a stolen child, a man who dishonored her at Harrenhal. Dude, the list just goes on and on. It's like you can throw her in the, I mean, that's where Eddard goes with a child, right? With his bastard, the whole R plus L equals J. There's too many dates. There's too much stuff going around. 282 AC, people dying, exchanging babies, too much happening. So there's a lot with that character.
Yeah, so much. So then we go down to Daenerys. And again, same thing. Daenerys is born on Dragonstone, right? And even her parentage, you and I were talking about this a little bit beforehand. And we were actually saying, like, you know, I could actually see where a lot of these people get all these ideas. I mean, for starters, whether, you know, even Daenerys's upbringing is really suspect. Like Lemongate, right? Was she raised in Dorne? Which then causes people, I think some people, to look down the line of, well, maybe she's not even actually, a Targaryen or whatever. I mean, she could be, her age makes her old enough. Her age, when she's born, gives her the proximity to be a lot of people's kids, including Rhaegar's, which ultimately I think I would be sort of intrigued by, because then does it give her a better claim, right? If she's Rhaegar's daughter, as opposed, it could just make her a third head of the dragon, because then it'll be one of Rhaegar's children. The idea that she's actually a Blackfyre, you know, she's born on Dragonstone, and her mother, Rhaella, with the Mad King, like her trip to Dragonstone and when she gets pregnant and things, there's some challenges in that. We were looking up, actually, like the things I kind of forget about that. Jamie sort of describes her flee to Dragonstone as happening in the morning, and Viserys says, like, we fled during the middle of the night, but he's a kid.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, why is the Mad King, you know, you forget about the timeline where it's like Rhaegar dies, the Mad King hears about it, sends her to Dragonstone. I mean, then like almost, you know, like a 9 months or something goes by that you're going to have to then have Robert and everybody come down to King's Landing, take it over, and then try to get over to Dragonstone to take care of Daenerys, who's being sort of born, I guess, in secret. Right. Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of it that could be interesting.
Well, yeah, Matt, there's also the whole bit with her mother having trouble, you know, bearing children and multiple miscarriages and issues and things like that. And then, I mean, just the fact that she's born in a storm and all these strenuous sort of conditions and harshness or whatever, that it's not ideal at all for a mother who's frail like this and who has had trouble with children. I mean, it's kind of a miracle that she's born.
Yeah. And then another theory is, this one was kind of actually new to me, a character, and we're going to talk about him a little bit here, and then a character we're going to I want to come back and circle back to and talk quite a lot about is Bonifer.
Dude, rabbit holes upon rabbit holes. I don't, because this led us into three different rabbit holes that I didn't expect us to go into. And so I'm just stunned by this guy. Not a guy. I mean, you read him and you gloss right over it. You don't even think twice about this.
Right. So let me get his wiki pulled up here. So House Bonifer, right? What's his first name? I always forget it.
Bonifer. So Sir Bonifer Hasty.
Bonifer Hasty. I knew I had it pulled up here. Yep. Yeah. So Bonifer Hasty, right? So he is a knight that has a very sort of, we don't really spend a lot of time with him. Really, he's older, obviously, by the time we meet him. And he and Rhaella, not Rhaella. What's her name? Rhaella. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Daenerys's mom, right, were sort of infatuated with each other when mm-hmm. they were younger, before she gets married. And it said that, you know, after she gets married, he ends up sort of joining like the clergy and he becomes holy. Yeah. He's got this sort of the holy 100, right? Like 100 knights. He's taking mm-hmm. over Harrenhal. And Jaime sort of meets him, here towards the end as we get toward Dance of Dragons and all of these things. But, there's some interesting things said about him, right? In the Dance of Dragons, Barrison is talking about Daenerys, you know, telling her a little about her mother and all of these things. And he says she was once smitten by a knight from the Stormlands. He tells her the knight put away the lance the day her mother wed his father, and he became very pious. The knight's passion for Rhaella had no hope of fulfillment, but Barrison chooses his words carefully and does not mention the name of the knight, and she doesn't ask for the identity of the knight who had fallen so deeply in love with her mother. So that's sort of where we're at with him. The last time we really hear him, he's holding Harrenhal. But again, it's another one of these sort of Targaryen loyalists. There's a lot out there, Ez, that we just kind of forget about.
But we can come back to him in a second, but let me just a couple things. There's too many words. So when I started looking into this, Rhaegar holds the tourney where? At Harrenhal. Right. Where is this guy at? Harrenhal, right? Rhaegar is compared to Baelor the Blessed. Jaime nicknames him Baelor Butthole. No joke. That's a quote.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. I don't remember that at all, actually, in my reading. And so there's a lot of different things. Their long faces, their demeanor, a lot of things were similar. I just was literally blown away by it. I'd never even heard of this. And so we can go into deeper and connect it to our other three that we have at the end of this. Once we get to the whole list, we'll come back to this one probably first, because man, there's more to it.
And he's with the Merryweathers, right? And he's the Merryweathers, right?
That's right. See, Matt, I went right down that rabbit hole, and that's where we'll come back to, because I was like, holy.
Well, God. Here's one I'd never heard of. So there is a theory.
Yeah, I see
that
this.
Davos is the son. And this one I have to dive more into, because I was it's just one that I saw and I was like, okay, well, I did so I didn't dive into every single one of these theories, and like most of them we're really familiar with. This is one we're gonna have to dive into, and maybe when we circle back I'll pull it up, or mm-hmm. perhaps we'll do that this an extended edition for Patreon content, which is the idea that Davos is Bonifer and Rhaella's son. I'd never heard of this, mm-hmm. but it would have because that could be pretty significant for him, I suppose. I mean, I don't know if perhaps before she gets married, because mm-hmm. Davos is obviously a little bit older, right? So for the timeline to sort of to sort of work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we could pull up the time, because it says he's born in or before 260 AC. We'll pull all that up, because we'll compare it to Rhaegar and take a look, but it's sort of fishy, if you will, on, you know, whether or not when he was born. But yeah, it's interesting.
So here we go. The Miller's Sons. This is one we've talked about. And this one is, I think we have a full video on this one, which is Theon as the father of one of the kids that they end up killing. When there are people looking for Bran and Rickon, he ends up burning them, because he talks about how he has hooked up, essentially, whether consensual or not, with the Miller's wife. Mm-hmm. How he's had her a few times, and people have done the math, and then it would also explain why immediately terrible things start happening to Theon, because he just kinslayed.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that one's well. Well, no, and it makes a lot of sense.
I think that one's legit. I don't think it's one George is ever going to go explain further. But I think if I had to pick one, I would say that one is actually accurate.
Yeah,
I would say just because the language he uses to suggest that he hooked up with this girl and then they kill the kids. And then bad things are happening. I think they use the term Theon Kinslayer later.
Yeah, yeah. Hooded and Winterfell. Right. Yeah, the hooded figure mocks him, kind of. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that one for me is confirmed. I would say that I think that theory is true.
Yeah.
So Sarah, right, mm-hmm. who is sort of Illyrio's
wife,
they don't dive a lot into her. Right. But a big theory is that she is a Blackfyre descendant, which could then tie his reasonings for perhaps wanting to push young Griff, right?
Yeah, her hair is streaked with silver, stuff
right? Because
like
there's a lot of them over there. Because a lot of Targaryens go over there. Let alone Blackfyres,
right?
Go over there. Arian Brightflame.
Oh yeah,
you know, yeah. Egg's brother. He has to go over there, and mm-hmm. so there's a lot of Targaryens over there. And I still say that not the Mad King, but Aegon the Fourth said all those bastards are legitimate. So.
Yeah,
there you go.
King declared it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this one's probably I think I do lean more ultimately on the idea that young Griff is a Blackfyre. And so I do think that it's probably pretty legit.
And this is where it comes down to two lines of thought here. Either like Sarah and Illyrio could have just taken in a legitimate Aegon and raised him, or she also could have been a Blackfyre, and he fathered a child on her that ends up being young Griff for sure.
Right. Right. Yep. Yeah. And ultimately at the end of the day, I definitely think that Sarah is probably a Blackfyre. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't know, Illyrio and Varys seem like they're just up to something. So
well, and did they mention the whole like the Blackfyre line is extinguished through the male line, like it's been the male right. line has been stopped and so on. You don't mention that unless there's a continuation in the I mean, it's sort of obvious, but it's Gurm does it to show us, hey, pay attention here. There's still more. So
right. Melisandre being a Shira Sea Star descendant. Jesus obviously, Melisandre's identity, right? Regardless, is pretty suspect and interesting, especially because the show that's a showism, by the way. I don't think that that's ever shown in the books. That obviously wears the ruby around her neck, could be glamoring herself in the show. She is glamored and she's this much, much, much older woman. But some people think that she is, in fact, just Shira Sea Star, let alone a descendant.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Which I think would be really cool. I think you could go on. And I'm surprised this one doesn't say, you know, like just the idea that you could have like there could be so many more. Right. I mean, she could be anybody. A lot of. Just because of the glamour effect, you know, it's just
right.
It's kind of wild to me. Also, buddy, I just have to confess, I'm a big fan. I don't mention it a whole lot, but like Melisandre is fascinating to me, and I love her. Okay, she's a great character. A great character, and
the show did it really good. She's portrayed very well in the show.
Oh
and
my
then
god!
At the end, yes. Where she just walks off and dies.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
I do ultimately think something like that is going to happen with her in the mm-hmm. books, but I think we'll get a little bit of piece of history. Something again, it could be one of these things where George just sort of like uses some text that like pretty much says without saying this is who it is and making a big deal out of it.
Right. Yes. Just real quick because I like this character so much and might have had a crush on her when I was reading it in the books.
Well, we'll come back. I think she's on the list again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just real quick, she's that character that kind of teeters. And like misreading prophecy. And I think Gurm is taking her up and down, and then she'll do something to redeem herself in the end. And it's sort of that, you know, right. grayish character.
You know, I do like the idea, especially because I think because some of these characters will appear again just because this is just sort of like the parentage or ancestry portion of this. I do really, that would be actually really interesting if she was a Shira Sea Star descendant.
Oh, descent. And not
right.
necessarily.
Like
yeah.
maybe her daughter or something. Maybe even her daughter. Maybe she's the daughter of Bloodraven and Shira Sea Star, right? Mm-hmm. Because they were sort of each other's paramour, but they never get married.
Right.
And then she ends up sort of leaving. And then that would actually make all of the stuff she sees where she sort of fears Bloodraven.
That'd be interesting, right? Yeah,
kind of interesting. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
again, that would then make her a secret Targaryen, of course,
right?
That's a secret Targaryen. Hodor, so
not a secret Targaryen,
not a secret Targaryen, but Hodor being the descendant of Sir Duncan the Tall, right? I think this one's pretty, pretty straightforward. Hodor is the grandson of Old Nan, right? And some people think Sir Duncan the Tall, because George has alluded to a lot of pretty much anybody who's suspiciously tall is perhaps a descendant of Sir Duncan the Tall. So Brown Ben Plum, his parentage and ancestry is questioned as.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, they're saying, I don't really know much about this one. Always seems straightforward. So that's what he goes by, is Brown Ben Plum.
We did talk about color symbolism and plum and
So I guess, because his mother is a Dothraki, his grandmother is Imanes, and so on. So he's got we're supposed to believe that he's related somehow, that he is a descendant.
So Ossifer Plum, who led Lord Plum, he marries Elena Targaryen during the reign of Aegon the Fourth. And so this is where this, I guess, his sort of comes from. So Ossifer was an aged man, wed to Elena Targaryen. He is said to have died while consummating his new marriage. After seeing his wife naked for the first time, Elena became pregnant and gave birth to Viserys Plum. Ossifer supposedly fathered the child after he was dead. Rumors at the time suggested that it had not been Ossifer, but her cousin, King Aegon IV, who had fathered the child. Well, King Aegon IV probably fathered all kinds of people, right, who we think of. So that's, I guess, ultimately where that comes from. So perhaps Ossifer is actually a descendant of Aegon IV.
Let's go.
So here we go. Brienne of Tarth, descendant of Sir Duncan the Tall. This one has pretty much been confirmed by George without, I think, officially saying that Brienne is 100% legitimately a descendant of Duncan the Tall. But it's it's one of those things that's quasi confirmed. But I don't know that George has officially ever come out and said Brienne is a descendant of Sir Dunk, period.
Right, yeah, we've talked a lot about this. When you look at her father, and the mystery around her mother is interesting.
And I think it's one of these things where George said at the time of writing Storm of Swords, there will be a POV chapter from somebody who's a descendant of Sir Duncan the Tall, and there's Brienne, and that's pretty straightforward. But we don't know where Sir Duncan, who he gets with. He's just out there spreading the seed, man. No wonder his thing.
Oh, he's doing his thing. Just a hedge knight.
Yeah.
There may come a time when the realm needs a hedge knight, and there was a great need in those days. Right.
So here we go. Here's some other ones. Right. House Clegane. This one, I get the idea is just that they're tall.
Yeah.
And some people sort of believe it. Small Paul is a little bit more legitimate, because we know Dunk goes well.
Thick as a castle wall, the whole
thick as a castle wall, yeah. all that kind of stuff. So
dialogue is similar.
Right. And there's probably a lot more of these as we begin to move into the next section. But Daeron the Second Targaryen, right?
I've always liked this one.
I have too. Is the son of Aemon the Dragon Knight.
Yeah, because that's a whole twist on truly he's believed to be the trueborn, only the trueborn son of Aegon the Fourth.
They might both be bastards.
Right. Exactly. So I found that to be interesting. He legitimizes the other ones, and Daeron, the good, seems weak and all these different things. But Daemon was probably an actual son, but just a bastard. So, right.
Yeah. But it's a bastard. It's the thing I've always loved. And this is why I love Daemon Blackfyre as a character.
Yeah.
And I hope to God we someday get a Blackfyre Rebellion show. Yeah. It'd be so freaking amazing. Is that it's not like Gendry is a bastard of Robert and some random tavern wench, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Daemon Blackfyre is a bastard of a Targaryen with a Targaryen.
Right.
So it's not it's not even somebody from a smaller house or anything. It's literally he is a son you know, of he has full Targaryen blood. It's not like he's half Targaryen blood or anything else. He has full Targaryen blood.
Right. That's always the interesting piece when it makes me think of a character real quick. Edric Storm.
Not that Darren wouldn't be. Darren still would be full Targaryen blood. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But like those higher, greater, like the bastards, like Robert's bastards, for example, the ones that live that matter are the ones that are like fathered on high ladies. So like, let me see here. Edric Storm. Yeah. His mother is Delaina Florent. So House Florent, he's over there and he gets right with a Florent. And so that one matters, but yet Gendry matters less. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's all about hierarchy and status and things like that. But you're right. This is actually two. It's even more than that because it's two freaking Targaryens. I mean, there's like no other house mixing in there. We're talking just straight brother, sister, right, your bloodlines.
So. There we go. So, okay. So this next one is going to be very important in House of the Dragon, right? Which is Jacerys, Lucerys, and Joffrey Valerion, potentially sons. And I think is actually probably very likely of Harwyn Strong.
Right. This will be interesting to see how they do like Harwyn Strong, because in the show, they're lining us up. House Valerion, just because of like genetics and skin color and things like that, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be something's going to be kind of glaring in one or two or, and there might not be. I mean, who knows? But like, I feel like something's going to really, they're going to look like Strongs. And that's going to be, people are like, okay, that's a problem. You know, she's not faithful, or maybe it's just, again, her husband wasn't, you know, his sexual orientation is not aligned with, you know, it's such that he would have offspring with her. So,
yeah. Okay. So now let's move to this next section here, which is alive, but presumably dead. So these are characters who we think are dead, right? Or, you know, like the question of their mortality is something. So Sandor Clegane, right, which is the Hound, is potentially the Gravedigger. I'm 100% on board. 100% on board with this one.
Gotta be.
Gregor Clegane is Robert Strong, 100%.
Yes, sir.
On that one. The show doesn't even change his name or any of that stuff. But I think it's also just ridiculously likely.
Yeah.
So, this one, I don't know. So again, I pulled a lot of these off lists and stuff like that. So yeah. Bran Stark in Blood Raven's Cave. I think Bran's alive.
Yeah, I think that was, maybe that's more of a, it's just people in the story don't know where he's at and he's gone. Right. But we're following him, right? I mean,
right.
Like alive, but presumed dead, because like it's believed that Bran and Rickon are dead by other characters. Maybe that's all they mean by that.
So yeah, again, it's just sort of like secret identities and stuff like that. Cause a lot of people think whatever.
Yeah.
So, Richard Lawnmouth, right? A lot of people think could be Lem Lemoncloak. We did a video. We did a video on that.
Yeah.
Rhaegar. Could be Mance Rayder, could be all kinds of other people, but people think he's still alive. It's pretty obvious. At least I am a big proponent of the idea that he is Mance Rayder. I'm pretty bought into that theory a lot, as well as a lot of just about any of the other Kingsguard members. Arthur Dayne could be Corrin Halfhand. Some people think he could be Mance Rayder. I do think he's. If he is alive, he's part of that whole group that went beyond the wall. Oswald went, same thing. Some people think he's connected to the Kettle Blacks.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have it on this list, but some people think Gerald Hightower could be Tormund. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these people so on here. So Ashara Dayne could still be alive, could be Septa L'Amour.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or could be some people think hiding a Greywater Watch.
That was Helen Reed and just the infatuation, and people had, you know, this whole romance with her, or just an infatuation with her, and maybe she ends up there at Greywater Watch. I kind of like that idea, but Septa L'Amour has always made sense, I think, too. So
Shiera Seastar could still be alive, could be Quaithe, which is a pretty common one, could be Melisandre. Some people say could be old Nan. I don't know about her being old Nan. In fact, I didn't put it on here, but we've talked about it quite a bit. I am more likely under the idea that old Nan is the widow from, oh God, the second dunk.
And yeah, Lady Weber.
Lady Weber.
Rowan
Weber. There's old Nan had a lot of, there's a lot of theories on her as well. Mm-hmm. But I think if I had to pin somebody down as Quaithe, Shira Seastar is probably my most likely candidate for her. Or Quaithe just could be her own thing, which would be cool.
Yeah, which would be cool. I actually never have heard the old Nan Seastar connection. So that, because she is old, and I mean she's super old. So
right. she's around the same age as like Bloodraven.
It just makes me think of Bloodraven and if they're associated.
They're all
If exactly, they are all about the same age, and that they all, if that whole group, if they're related, some they go north, then maybe she goes with them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Tyrick Lannister, who we did a video on. Some people think he could be Varys's captive.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, by the way. That is because he's just missing, and he's been missing, and they pointed out, Gurren points it out way too many times, and he matters. So that's a hostage, something, a piece to be used, I think, against the Lannisters in some way. So
yeah, some other ones here. Garion Lannister, so that's Tyrion's uncle who goes missing.
Mm-hmm.
But some people think that I think he's connected to like the sailor's wife, right? It could be.
Mm-hmm.
Going on there. Domeric Bolton character I'm not as familiar with. I always kind of forget about possibility that he's still alive. John Connington and Aegon the sixth, right? Targaryen currently invading Westeros. Just sort of, we don't know exactly what's going on with them. And also I think John Connington coming back is a potential surprise for a lot of people because I haven't seen him in forever. Probably think he's dead.
Hold on. Let me back up on one thing. So, because I just assumed he's dead, right? This is like assumed dead alive, but Domeric Bolton, I mean, he's dead as far as I didn't know there was theories that he might not be, you know? I guess it's that he lives on through his father. That is like, you know, the whole vampire situation, like
could be theoretical,
takes over vampires. A new host, right? Type of thing. That, because that threw me. I was like, wait, now hold on a second. He is dead. But then I'm like, oh yeah, there's that whole weird sort of supernatural, you know, element. Sorry. Yeah.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Reynald, I guess however you want to pronounce it, Westerling, just because his body's never recovered after jumping into the Green Fork. And then our big buddy, Syrio Forel, who could theoretically be Jack and Hagar.
Yeah. Why not show an epic fight scene, but Arya running away, doesn't see the whole thing, you know, just, I don't know. And then you said Gurm wrote the episode where the phrase "not today" comes into play, right? And it's Gurm wrote that. So
he wrote that book. Episode for TV, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. So again, this is going to be sort of, again, coming up, we're going to go over again these because this is the secret identity category.
Mm-hmm.
So, Young Griff, again, already talked about that. Septa Lamor, right? Now, here's one. Ashar Dane's obviously the most common, but Melora Hightower is a potential candidate for Septa Lamor. So I'll let you pull her up here real quick. So the big sort of deal with Septa Lamor is Tyrion describes her as being really pretty, which could tie her into Ashar Dane, around roughly the same age as she probably would be. And of course, the scar on her belly, meaning she had been in childbirth. That's the
I don't get this one. So the whole this is who I thought this was, the mad maid who is held up in Leighton Hightower's high tower, right? So in Old Town, I didn't think there were, I thought that was just straight up you know, that was his eldest daughter, but people are saying that possibly there's connect, it's like a secret identity. There's a whenever someone doesn't come out or reveal their face or show themselves, like the idea is there's a reason they're hiding, you know, there's a reason that they haven't shown themselves for a long time. So
continuing down this list, right, Dario Naharis, some people think that it's Euron Greyjoy.
What?
Wow. Yes.
Wow. This is cool. This is cool. That's interesting to think about. I mean,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, we can come back and dive deep into a lot of some of these, because this is just a big list. I found on Reddit and sort of added some of my own.
Yeah.
Quentin Martell, unbeknownst to him, he's actually somebody else we've talked about. I think we've talked about this, that Quentin Martell could be.
Yeah. There's even though, so this one I think is talking about just actually whether he was born to the Martells or not, the Tattered Prince theory, like right, that he's connected possibly to the Tattered Prince or has lived on, and that, yeah, there's like that his death is not what we believe it to be, the whole thing. So
yeah. Okay, Sailor's wife, right, could be Taisha. We've talked that's a big one. I would actually love to do a whole Taisha video and pod, you know, part of a podcast at some point. But that one is pretty common in the community, that that could be Taisha. Which do you hope Tyrion meets Taisha or not? I think so, because I see the arguments for both sides of it are, on one hand, he's like so hung up about it, but and that it would, like, to be able to finally see her, you could get some resolve to that storyline, perhaps propel him forward. On the other hand, it could have been such a learning moment for Tyrion that it's all just about him reflecting on it.
Yeah, it's going to be such a if he does, it's just so such a difficult thing, because she's taken advantage of, used. I mean, it's an awful thing. It's like these lords do this and they pull her into this situation. So you feel like, is he resent?
I don't know that it's not going to be happy ever after. I can say that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it would be another step that might drive Tyrion further towards this. It seems like he's been spiraling out of control a bit, you know, and come unhinged. You know what the show does is they try to say, well, he hasn't made very good choices, and it feels like Danny is like he's leading her astray in some way. I don't know what they're going to do what Grimm's going to do in the book here, because this could be more of the unraveling if he does meet Taisha. So
some of these we've already talked about even in our last segment. Mance Rayder, being Rhaegar, Lem Lemoncloak, right, being Richard Lawnmouth, Quaithe, you know, a lot of people, Melisandre, you know. So here's one, man. Alyrus the Sphinx is Sorella Sand. I mean, I think here's you and I are 100% on this. We've taken it a step further.
Yes, we have. Yes, we
but
have.
But just simply the idea that Alyrus is Sorella, I mean, that's like 100%.
That is to me, that's not even a question. So Alyrus the Sphinx is Sorella Sand, confirmed. I think you could say that 100%, put that in the bank, throw money down on it, and it's fine. Where we make the leap, where it's, you know, I don't know. I think Sorella Sand is actually someone else. And that's the leap that I've made in a lot. Well, I have to redo that whole thing. We did a great podcast on it, our extended edition, where I talk about the idea that Sorella Sand is probably, most likely, I believe, Rhaenys Targaryen. Go ahead and fight me in the comments about it. All right. I think,
and we're gonna redo that video now that we know a little bit more about YouTube and how to make higher end quality, you know, content and stuff like that. We're gonna revisit.
Yeah.
Revisited. So Maynard Plum is Blood Raven. This one is one of those that's like, it's not 100% confirmed. Uh-huh. But it's like 99.99%. If you read the third Duncan Egg story, the Mystery Knight, which I love all three of them, to be honest. You know, Maynard Plum is this guy who's there that Dunk talks to, and he uses the same language at the end where he sort of describes himself as a friend, which is sort of the language that...
Bloodraven uses, right,
that Bloodraven uses, and then later, he's just a few notches down. Cold Hands refers to Bloodraven, the three-eyed crow, as a friend,
dude. There's a huge connection there. Totally believe that. And what the one that's interesting is what you have right below Maynard Plum, Brown Ben Plum, being Bloodraven's agent or Bloodraven himself. I've never heard the idea that he's Bloodraven himself, but. You know, interesting. Just he would be.
And we talked about him a little bit again. I think I still have it up here. Brown Ben Plum, right?
Yep.
And so some people, again, they think he died, but then he's right, you know.
Yeah, the connection to the dragon
raising too. Right. And yeah, raising his son. So yeah. I'd love to we should come back and do a thing on Brown Ben Plum.
Yeah.
Tattered Prince, we talked a little bit about this.
Hey, something interesting on the Tattered Prince though. There's actually something when I was doing my research on the whole Quentin theory and stuff, like he's been promised Braavos or something. Like there's an interesting thing as to what a lot of promises are being made by Tyrion and others and these other companies that are fighting down in Meereen. There's so much political stuff going on down there that it's just sort of it's wild to keep track of. Conspiracies upon conspiracies. I'm not really sure. That's a whole nother thing. It's a tangled rat's nest, honestly. And I compare it to what's going on in King's Landing. It like he's made it as complex, Gurm has there in Meereen, as he has up in King's Landing. So the Tattered Prince is in among all of that and is a very mysterious kind of individual. So
yeah. Cold Hands could be Benjen, could be the Night's King. I did a big Patreon thing about that probably about a year ago. Talking about it, very, very interesting idea. Cold Hands isn't Blood Raven because Blood Raven's in the cave, but could just be sort of this thrall the Blood Ravens controls. Sir Duncan the Tall, I think, is a lot of people think, right, because of the idea that a friend, and it's also this big creature. I think I have become more, less and less over the years, by the way, against the idea that Blood Raven is Benjen.
Okay. That
Blood Raven. At this point,
Cold Hands is Benjen?
Cold Hands is Benjen. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I think I'm just less and less and less believing of that idea.
And it's crazy that that's what the show did. But like that's, you know what I mean?
It was a big theory. I think it was a good idea for the
show.
It's
cool. It's cool, but it's interesting that like
they did go that route.
It doesn't seem like that's what they're going to do in the book, so it just don't know.
Right.
Yeah. See, this is where I wonder if Gurm has. I totally believe this is a thing. I can't wait till it all comes out and he's done with his books or whatever. I think he has alternate endings. I think he has many paths forward. Cool ideas, but says he's left himself so many routes that he said, you know what, screw it, the show can do this, I have my own idea. That was a discarded sort of idea, thought, didn't go with it and didn't pan out. So maybe that's something that he said that'd be fun. There's evidence in the books.
Describes his writing as being a gardener. I mean, you know, yeah. I just sort of see where the weeds take me,
right?
But when you plant a seed, like when I plant a rose, I know it's going to become a rose. I don't know, it may grow this way, it may grow this way, may have to cut some here, may have to cut some there, but the flower's still going to bloom. I know what it's going to look like at the end.
Matt, it's just the slowest growing rose I've ever seen in my life.
Really, man.
I've never seen anything.
It's one of those like rare roses that, you know, or it's like rare things where it's like it takes like 20 years to bloom and it only blooms for like an hour. And
right. Then, you know, yeah. Oh, my God. All right, man. All right, Gurm.
here's one of your sort of favorite. Pate, the alchemist is.
Right. That's a cool one. In Feast for Crows, just that prologue, trying to figure out what is a faceless man doing at the Citadel. The whole theory we've tracked Jack and Hagar and his crossing paths with Arya, and then was he on his way up to the Wall to find? People believe he was going up there to find a book on how to kill dragons or something, or how to whatever, and then that path doesn't work for him with the Night's Watch, so he diverts his course maybe and goes to the Citadel, and there he kind of, you know, has Pate go steal the key and kills him, right? Gives him his coin, then kills him. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. He's still sticking around there. He's still lingering at the end of that with the Sphinx. He's chilling out.
So. Yeah. Here's one I'm actually unfamiliar with. The idea, I mean, again, I think his origin is interesting. Another character who sort of shows up at the same point in the books is Shay. I believe there's more to the story behind Shay. Sure. I mean, did Tywin pay her off? Was the whole thing a setup? Or it, did she just happen to sort of come in at the right time and then she goes out at that time and then it's just a lot of her backstories is a mystery. I don't know.
Right. She's a mystery.
But Qyburn is sort of the same thing. He sort of appears out of nowhere and then he's doing all these weird experiments and he gets a lot of power really fast. And the show, they just kill him at the very last, you know, second to last episode because I don't think they knew what to do with him. But I think there is more to the story with Qyburn. Is he a Martell or a Martell loyalist, though? I don't know. Could be.
Yeah, I don't know. I did just look up also.
Because he's with the Boltons initially.
Yeah, right. And then he actually is picked up. He is just there at Harrenhal, too. He was with the Sellsword group, too. And then that's how he ends up being with Lord Bolton. So it's weird. It's like, I don't know where he actually comes from. So there's a video of people talking about him possibly having some sort of connection to. Yeah, to the Martells. This is one we can come back to and look into. This is what's great about this is finding new connections.
Marwyn, the mage.
Yeah. I don't. He's an interesting character just because of his knowledge and what he's doing in sort of the higher kind of mysteries, you know?
I mean, the Sphinx is the riddle, and the Sphinx is there with Marwyn the mage.
Marwyn's going to see Danny, and there's this
whole glass candles.
Yeah, exactly. I think kind of glass candle. In the show, I think Varys ends up with Danny. I think that role was meant to be in the book is clearly Tyrion will be there, but I think Marwyn the mage will be right in there, you know.
Yeah.
Varys won't be there. Varys will be chilling out with Illyrio doing their whole Blackfyre possibly, you know, stunt.
Right. It says Abel Mance Rayder, a reference to Bale the Bard.
Oh my God. Mance Rayder, above all else, it was said that he was Abel, right? This is when we made the Rhaegar, right? Targaryen. It was above all, like he was Abel. Like that was, he was an Abel individual. And then you have connections to freaking Mance Rayder and Bale the Bard and Abel. It's just freaking nuts, dude.
Yeah,
that one's trippy.
So Mikoro is Marwyn the mage in disguise.
Really? I don't know about that. That doesn't seem like. I always thought Mikoro was just his own character, and it's just one of the Red Priests, you know?
Right.
But
the elder brother.
I don't know. I don't know about that one.
I have to look at who's the elder brother.
Elder brother. Let's see. Sellsword's Littlefinger. Is it a Littlefinger connection?
The elder brother, let me see here, is the senior contemplative brother at the Septries at the Faith of the Seven. They take a vow of silence. Only the elder brother and his proctors may speak. He shows up in the Storm of Swords. A Septri in the Riverlands is sacked repeatedly during the War of the Five Kings, thinking the elder brother has hidden gold. A monstrous attacker orders his men to kill the contemplative brothers one by one. In a feast for crows, a Septri near Maidenpool is attacked first by Northmen, then by sellswords during the War of the Five Kings. Its elder brother hides some coins, and a pious dwarf takes the coins, and the rest of his brothers are killed. Bran of Tarth travels to the Quiet Knight and meets its elder brother, a former knight. But that's all that's said.
Dude, oh my God. I just found the most...
Who is the elder brother? Who is the elder brother that was a knight?
Dude, I just found someone who took this idea. By the way, I vaguely remember that.
Well, it's so small. I think it... A Feast for Crows, Chapter 9, Brienne 2.
Okay.
No, excuse me. A Feast for Crows, Chapter 31, Brienne 6, is this elder brother who is a former knight.
What in the French toast?
They're like,
it's... Someone. Jesus, dude.
It could be anybody if it's a former knight.
Well, and here's... Someone has literally broken down Since you said it could be anybody, I'll just go. This is like a 12-page Reddit post that literally someone has broken down all the possible.
Well, and it's save like it.
Make sure very make sure intense. I've make got sure it. This is part one of three. So like what?
We're gonna have to come back to that. So anyway, continuing on here, the Smiling Knight we've talked about right before. That's just
the dusky woman.
I gotta look that up. She's the dusky woman.
You go ahead and look that up real quick. The Smiling Knight. I wanted to mention this. I never did get around to this. It was right before I left for in the summer. I left on vacation.
Oh, that's right.
And I had I still have the audio for it, so maybe I'll post it and maybe I won't animate. I just to get up so you guys can see it, or I'll put it on Patreon. But I had this whole idea that the Smiling Knight, who Jamie does not slay. Matt, I was listening to a Jamie chapter the other day, and someone said they go up to Jamie. He's at House Dairy, and they literally say, you know, they talk about all of his prestige, all these things, and they're like, "And you're the man who slew the Smiling Knight," and right. He's not actually. It was Sir Arthur Dayne, and so he mentions like that wasn't me, and it kind of shows you how things get lost over time. But his whole like people believe that he did or that he was near it. He actually was not able to, and he himself has been trying to kind of defeat his own Smiling Knight, if you will, in the form of the Kettle Blacks. So I think, yeah, they're always described as smiling. I think it's either Osni or Oswell, maybe.
Okay, here we go. The Dusky Woman. Yeah, I forgot about this. Just because I guess I never think of her as the Dusky Woman. I just think of her as just whatever. She's the mute. She's a gift from Euron to Victorion, who's embarking on the fleet. Like she's the woman, right? She's
beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's there and she's totally set. Right. Yeah. Victorion hooks up. Victorion has sex with her in the cabin. And then ultimately she's there during it. Like she's with Victorion, right? Like the whole time. Right. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, so theories around her, I'm trying to see. I don't really see a lot of people asking and trying to figure out if she is secretly somebody. We just don't really know anything other than her than just being the Dusky Woman. But seems responsible that she's there. She's for dressing Victorian's wound, which mysteriously has never healed. He blames it on the young maester. She hates Makoro, who's able to see Victorian's future and the ties that bind him. Euron gives Victorion the power to bind dragons and a fleet to go collect them with, right? If Victorion returns with dragons and Dany, he has no reason to submit to his brother. So Euron and his crew, you know, essentially Euron sends her, I think, to kill Victorion, to be entirely honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, dude, there's this person they're talking about, the Smiling Knight here, we're going back and forth between these two, but
no, go ahead.
People have they speculate all that's really said about the Smiling Knight is just that he was a madman. He's described as a lot of different things, but like who was he during that time? And could it be connected to someone like the likes of Lawnmouth, Manwood? There's a couple other people listed forward that might be individuals that he turned out to be. So we can dive. I've never looked into like actually his identity or who he could be beyond what we know him as is the Smiling Knight.
Wow. Real quick, let me just read this because this is a pretty interesting take here. I just looking up Dusky Woman theories, and these are all from like 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this is a comment on a post talking about the Dusky Woman theory. This person is saying, I think Euron can warg people essentially, right? Who have their tongues cut out. Like he's got an army of Hodors at his disposal, and heck, maybe he can warg anyone he wants, like including Dario. Saying my personal theory is Blood Raven likes to warg ravens because they can sort of talk and they are perfect for spying on people. But let's assume Bran is going to start warging that massive wolf pack, like, and maybe that will be his thing, warging wolves. Euron's warg of choice is humans. He picks up slaves all over the world, rips their tongues out, and wargs them until they are mentally bound to him. His crew is literally him warging other people and pushing them to their maximum limits, all in unison. That's how he's so powerful and can survive in crazy environments, because he has an army of mind slaves at his command. His sigil is the third eye held up by crows, meaning he spent some time learning the ways of the children of the forest, perhaps, likely as a pupil of, maybe even through Bloodraven himself. Mm-hmm. That means he can warg people, and there is no moral compass in Euron to stop him from enslaving humans with his mind. Why cut out their tongues? Maybe it has to do with blood magic and speeding up the enslavement process, or maybe he just likes to pull people's tongues out.
That's fascinating.
That was written 8 years ago before Hold the Door ever happened. But I mean, Bran was warging into Hodor.
Right.
You know, and so if Bran can warg into Hodor, there's no reason to suggest that Euron, not that we know that Euron is capable of all of those things, but.
Right. Well, and Varamyr tells us like there's so many warnings against it, and there are so many connections to Euron being a potential that student or pupil that Bloodraven or the Three-Eyed Crow or whatever reached out to prior to Bran, and that he just had his own agenda, and that Euron was maybe, you know, as the Jedi say, maybe he was too old, and he had his own sort of ideas. And so you go with Bran, and Bran also has a great fall, like something that kind of limits him in what he can do. So maybe that makes him a better candidate for whatever mission the Three-Eyed Crow or Bloodraven has for him. Whereas Euron's got crazy ambitions. He's got also his upbringing, you know, like the choosing someone from the Greyjoys, just all the ambition that they have and the, you know, just the scorn that they've had to go through over the years. Yeah. You can see where that'd be a troublesome pick.
Okay. So continuing on, Sir Shadrick, the Mad Mouse, people think could be Hallen Reed.
I always Sir Shadrick, the Mad Mouse. I've talked about him before. I enjoy this character. When people ask us to bring up characters that we don't often bring up, I've often brought him up, and I like this. He comes across Brienne a lot. Never did I think though that he was Hallen Reed or connected to him. I mean, short for sure. But
there was a theory that went a couple of years ago, and then Alt Shift X sort of broke it down and said he didn't agree with it. And then I think honestly that kind of like killed it, because I really haven't seen much of it since. But another one for Hallen Reed was that he was the High Sparrow.
Oh yeah.
I remember that. But and then it literally is. Oh, I almost feel like once he did a thing that was like, I don't think so. It sort of stopped. It sort of stopped. And then the show also came out and made it seem like the faith wasn't really important.
Right.
But who knows? The faith could be in the books, right?
Well, hopefully Hallen Reed is more important in the freaking books than he is in the freaking show.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus.
So Old Nan again, this is just because it's a list. So some people are repeated twice and different things. Could be Cher Seastar. I think she's Rowan Weber. But again, that would be a secret identity for Old Nan. But I do think it's likely. Hodor, again, same thing. Varys is possibly a Blackfyre or a Targaryen, maybe even a Merling.
Yeah, that was wild. That was a fun sort of idea. A Merling.
But do you think Varys is a Targaryen or a Blackfyre?
I don't know. Honestly, I've always seen just
that's a pretty big theory. He is of one of the other is the reason he's trying to prop up Young Griff or any of these things.
Well, and people have talked about the idea like that he shaves his head and everything, that he like maybe he does more like, well, part of, I mean, you know, him. Yeah, I mean, there's other reasons why he has no hair, but that would be one of those things that helps you hide. Like Targaryen or Blackfyre features, right? Being hairless and things like that. So
Egg does it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I could see it. I have more thoughts just that he's been, even if he is a Blackfyre, he's definitely an agent for more of like the people and looking for someone who's a better ruler and all that stuff. Because he really, when he does kill Kevin Lannister, makes it pretty clear that he believes in someone more righteous. And he has, I mean, he was pretty daggone. You could almost go back with Varys all the way back to the Mad King and say, was he really being loyal to the Mad King, or was he already there starting looking for a way to further? If you think he's a Blackfyre, was he already there trying to do something for his family with the Mad King? Because he's there early, Matt. I mean, he's one of the reasons why he's counseling the Mad King not to open his gates for Tywin. Right. And he does, because he thinks Tywin's his old friend. Sure.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So here we go. So again, some of these are just our sort of things that we already know, confirming them. Cat of the Canals, Mercy, Blind Beth is Arya. I mean, she's doing this on Faceless Men missions. But again, there's a lot of secret identities, right, that are confirmed that we know. So there's, I mean, this is all sort of just to show why all of the theories of everyone's secretly a Targaryen or everyone, this person secretly this. Well, there's already a lot of confirmed ones. Elaine Stone, Sansa Stark, just a different name. Reek, Ramsay uses the name Reek. Then Theon gets it. Some other ones that I don't have listed on here would include Jane Poole, right, as Arya Stark.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot. So there's a lot of secret identities and air quote secret identities. Some that are flat out 100%. Some that are like, I'd say 99%. Then there's a lot could be, you know, this is why the fans all go back and forth on it. And I would say that why the majority of Game of Thrones / A Song of Ice and Fire theories involve secret identities, because it's there's so many of them that are already true.
Right. Well, and a big component to what George has, like what he's done in his writing. One, we're going to do one later here in a second about, we're going to talk, I don't know, we're going to do it now or later, but House Dairy and how their line has ceased through the male side, unless you consider like they've got some potential bastards of that house. So, and then who are those bastards? There is a bastard who could come forward and make a claim on House Dairy. Lance L. Lannister is there now. So he does that sort of thing all the time, Matt, which is like, well, there was a bastard born who was born from the Lord of House Dairy that could still inherit if legitimized by a king. But even if not, still kind of has some claim to it because he's, you know, offspring of that Lord or that family. And right. When everyone else dies out, you could turn to that bastard and say, we need you now. Now we need you to step up. And
yeah.
That stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, so it's intriguing. The whole deal is intriguing, and you know, other characters, as just other characters too, like Joffrey Baratheon. Well, he's not really a Baratheon; he's a Lannister.
Right.
Well, he's not actually really a Lannister; he's a bastard. So he's a Hill. So it's right. that's why we go over all this stuff. So for those of you guys listening on the podcast, I think that's probably going to be end of part one. I think we're going to come right back as we're just going to go ahead and dive into this House Dairy theory. But for those of you guys listening to the podcast, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, all of those things, and we'll come back as we dive into House Dairy.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.